The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The next half century will be an age of nuclear weaponry.
I exposed the basis of our nuclear doctrine and its place in the world, and since then, things have changed. Over the past 6 years, the time that has passed seems like decades, and the last few months like years. Our rivals have moved on, so of our partners, the world has become tougher, and this has been further demonstrated by events of the past few hours. So it is with the greatest gravity that I have come to announce to the move and evolution in keeping with our national and European challenges. We have to strengthen our nuclear deterrent due to the combined threats, and we must think of our nuclear a deterrent on European scale. Nuclear threat is growing, becoming more diversified, interconnected, and these threats may well be preceded by intensive conflicts below the threshold, and that the means of our potential opponents are growing. So we have to draw conclusions from this. In this very dangerous, unstable world, as you have already heard me say on several occasions, in order to be free, we have to be feared. I have ordered that we increase the number of nuclear warheads on our arsenal in order to put pay to any speculation. We will no longer communicate on the figures regarding our nuclear arsenal, contrary to past practice.
That's the French premier talking about adding to his nuclear deterrent, build more nuclear weapons, and this time we're going to do it in private. We're not going to be open and transparent about it. We need to do it. What did he say at the start? The next half century will be an age of nuclear weaponry. Just pause for a moment and think on this. Is France, Germany's puppet, by the way, who's been saying that for decades. This is France, first world nation, a nuclear power, saying we need more nukes. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. As the world turns, so much to get to: wars, rumors of wars, violence, division. I mean, here we are, a world that's so bitterly divided. And you see it, as I'll cover with you in the Gospels here in just a second. You see it all around. And Jesus said it would be this way. That's the thing. And yet people don't. They don't quote those particular verses of Jesus Christ. Red letter. They just skip right over it. They talk endlessly about Jesus. They talk about love and mercy. They talk about religion. They talk about all that Jesus did for us, how we don't need to do anything. They talk about peace. They talk endlessly about peace. And yet, look at the war-torn planet that we're living on. Going back to Macron, I mean, it's so obvious. They don't yet have the arsenal. I know, it's coming. It's in the works. But this is Europe's time. President Trump was in the Oval Office yesterday with Merz, and yeah, he did most of the talking during the presser. But you've got the German premier, and you've got President Trump, and then all these reports now about, you know, the Strait of Hormuz is cut off now because of Iran. Iran controls that sea gate. We'll talk more about sea gates as we proceed. How much longer can this war go on? How much longer will Trump, will it even go 4 or 5 weeks What happens if oil prices skyrocket? Donald Trump, he's keeping his eye on the economy, on the cost for fuel. This is the golden age for America. We've got to have cheap gas. So 4 or 5 weeks now, that's looking like a stretch. Yesterday, I talked about how that's, you know, that's nothing. I mean, if we're already announcing that, yeah, we'll cap this off at 4 weeks, then the mullahs, or what's left of them, they know that all that we have to do is wait it out. And we survive again. That's been the history 47 years. Just hang on for dear life. Hunker down under the bombs, get into the bunkers, and just wait it out. It's not that difficult to envision a scenario where America says, Jeroboam-led America says, listen, we bombed them to smithereens. We took out their nuke facilities last summer. We obliterated it. What more can we do? I mean, they're still causing trouble. And now, as I said yesterday on the show with Cyprus and other choke points, I mean, now Europe's being drawn into it. And you heard from France right there. We want nuclear weapons. You know who's really excited about that? That would be Germany. That would be Mertz. That would be the Daniel Eightman. That's right. Germany, I mean, they're just rubbing their hands together. This is great. Europe is getting more nukes. Even as we consolidate our power, even as we construct a modern German war machine. And we know, history teaches us this, that we can take control of France, well, quite easily. Those nukes, you might as well say they're German nukes. We need more nukes. Why? Well, we've been carefully examining the situation. We're drawing conclusions. Who else, by the way, is drawing conclusions based upon what Donald Trump's doing in Iran together with Israel? You think China's out there maybe drawing a few conclusions? Or Russia? Are there any other nations that are saying, you know what, I think Macron's right. I think we're coming into an age of nuclear weaponry. Are we in the age of peace? Or is this the age of nuclear weaponry? We need a stronger deterrence. Macron said, in order to be free, we have to be feared. Well, there's an element of truth to that. Speak softly, carry a big stick. But what happens when everyone's divided, bitterly so, and everyone's saying exactly what you heard Macron say there, we need more nukes. In order to be free, we've got to be feared. France needs to be feared. Germany needs to be feared. Russia, they need to be feared. China, America. You see where this is leading? What happens once America washes its hands of the Iranian menace? They've been killing Americans for almost a half century, and Jews together with it. You think about Jeroboam and all that we were saying leading up to his miraculous reelection in November of 2024. God brought him back to save America, to miraculously save America from being blotted out entirely. And you could look at how this same leader, this same Jeroboam, is such a huge catalyst for Bible prophecy. I mean, he's just clearing the way for so many different prophecies to be fulfilled, whether with respect to sea gates, the Mart of Nations, the emergence of the Holy Roman Empire. Europe's time is here. Bloomberg has this headline, Poland will eventually seek its own nuclear weapons. Well, why not? We're entering into the age of nuclear weaponry. In order to be safe, I mean, we've got to be feared. In order to maintain our freedoms, our liberties, we've got to be feared. People have to be afraid of us. So France is nuking up, arming itself for war, and now Poland says the same thing. The Guardian says about France's announcement yesterday, France to increase nuclear arsenal and European weapons cooperation. Not just the arsenal for France, but look, this is for Europe. And Europe is cooperating, don't you know? Europe is united. There's a union there. They're going to share those weapons. As my father has said, they're going to help themselves to American-made weapons as well. Just sitting there on the continent, sitting there on European soil. Here's Iran attacking NATO. And then you've got, speaking of division and strife, you've got Spain, and well, Britain too, for its part. And President Trump has come out and criticized Britain, saying we're getting more help from Europe. What's wrong with Britain? So much weakness. We're just besieged by our sins, our problems, these curses. But then you have Spain, for its part, saying, yeah, we're not going to let America use those bases in this Iranian operation. To which Trump has said, all right, we're going to stop trading with Spain. We've had it with Spain. We don't want anything to do with Spain. This is the world we live in. Other headlines from yesterday. France carrier moving to Cyprus. France increasing nukes, as you heard there from Macron. France fighter jets over UAE. Well, they've got to protect their allies. Skip ahead to number 17. This is Macron on France's alliance with those Gulf states. Clip 17.
We have defense agreements linking us with Qatar, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates. These last two have been especially targeted, and we must stand with them.
Yeah, Iran is randomly firing away at all of these Gulf states, any U.S. target it can think of. France is in cooperation with these states. So it's not just going after NATO that's drawing in Europe, but you've got France and other European nations that, I mean, think of the Psalm 83 alliance coming into play, as I said earlier this week. Nations are being drawn in. Europe's being pulled into it. Merz is in the White House. Germany's talking to America. America's looking at the Strait of Hormuz. America's following the escalating prices for fuel. This is from the New York Times today. NATO air defenses shoot down Iranian missile headed toward Turkey. The Incirlik Air Base in southern Turkey hosts American forces, but Turkey has said that it will not allow its airspace to be used for attacks on Iran. So they're joining Spain. What a complicated world this is. What a world. So much division. Well, now Turkey, they kind of side with Iran and Russia and China, and yet they're in NATO. That's pretty amazing. NATO air defenses shoot down this Iranian missile. This is going back to Macron. Listen to what again he said yesterday, clip 13.
But in order to be powerful, and this is the second part of my intervention, we have to be united. And I'm going to speak about Europe. Our security has never been based on national borders, both in conventional and nuclear terms. It's an obvious fact of our geography that we have. And now, more than ever before, independence cannot be an independence of solitude.
Cooperation. Nukes, these are the keynote words in the narrative today. Yes, France needs more nukes. Poland needs to get some nukes. And then you've got to have cooperation. We've got to work together as one. We've got to have a union of 10 nations or groups. 10 kings, as it says in Revelation 17. This is Europe's time, and they know it. And the U.S. is encouraging it. And one hotspot after another, from one week to the next, you see it all just working to accelerate these many prophecies of God, whether it's the Psalm 83 Alliance, the significance of Israel losing sea gates, the emergence of the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, the King of the South pushing and pushing and pushing. I mean, you talk about how much Europe is dependent on oil flowing through the Straits of Hormuz, more so than America. It's getting Europe's attention. The rocket fired at Turkey gets Europe's attention. What happened in Cyprus, as I covered yesterday, that's getting Europe's attention. Europe is mobilizing to act. Europe is ready to cooperate as one body, as one union. A mixture of iron and clay, but nevertheless, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Yes, we're going to produce more nukes, and we're not even going to be transparent about the numbers this time around, and we're going to cooperate with our partners. And our number one partner is Germany. Play clip 14.
Contacts have been made with a group of allies, and we have started off with our essential ally, which is Germany. They responded positively to France's offer, and at present, a new stage of the French nuclear deterrent can be implemented. We are going down the route of what I call advanced deterrence. Germany will be a key partner in this effort, of course.
Of course, he says. We could have said that. Of course they will be. Germany is delighted. You want more nukes? Hey, we love that. We love the sound of that. You want to cooperate with us? You want to be teammates with us? You want to share the nukes with us? We like the sound of that too. Yeah, a key partner. Germany is an essential ally, says France. I mean, you can't make this up. France creating the nukes and France begging Germany to be an essential partner, a key partner. This is clip 15 from Macron.
It has been made clear since the very beginning for us and for our partners that this effort will be an additional effort with regard to that of NATO. And I must say, we do not take part in this. So the advanced deterrent we are offering is a separate approach, and it is totally complementary with that of NATO, both in strategic and technical terms.
You just read between the lines of that translator there. He's doing his best, but basically Macron is saying, look, we're building nukes. In order to maintain our freedoms, we got to be feared. We're going to do this secretively, okay? And there's going to be European cooperation. And this is important too, it's going to be separate and apart from NATO. In other words, from America. In other words, NATO's done. This is a European project. This is a European effort. This is part of the new European war machine headed up by Germany. I mean, that's the quiet part out loud, but that's what's happening. That's where it's headed. Luke 12 and verse 38. Listen to what Jesus Christ said about this age. Christ came, if you know a little bit about Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and to know, you've got to go to the only source you can rely on, and that would be the Gospels, the Holy Bible. But he came to this earth, and for 3.5 years in his ministry, he spent time primarily with just 12 people, 12 students. Disciples, they're called. And he taught them. I read in class this morning, this guy in the crowd that came forward and said, hey, you know, I've got a problem with my inheritance here, and can you intervene and sort this out so I can get, you know, my fair share? And Christ basically said, you know, what do I have to do with you? I'm not going to get involved in this. Why wouldn't he? I mean, if Jesus came to save the world, if Jesus came to proclaim this message of salvation was here and now. The only time is now. You better do it before it's too late. Why wouldn't he help that individual? Well, because he didn't come. Jesus didn't come to save the world. He came as a lamb sacrifice who also established the foundation of God's church. He came in and selected and taught and trained 12 students so that they too could be part of the foundation of God's church, God's little flock. That's the way it's described in the Bible. He came to prepare them for those disciples, those students, those soon-to-be warriors. He came to prepare them for a 2,000-year war against Satan the devil and his great false church and the ways of this world. Luke 12:38 says, "And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants." I'm picking it up in the middle of a thought here. It says, "And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. If you knew it was going to happen, then you'd stay up all night. You'd be anticipating it. You'd be ready for it, for this attack, for this arrival." Verse 40, it says, "Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not." Christ is coming back to this world. He's coming a second time to a world that, generally speaking, is fast asleep. And so he says here, you better be awake. You better prepare. You better watch and pray always so that you know when you're near, when the arrival of Christ is near, even at the door. And notice he says in verse 49, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled?" Jesus came to send fire? The Jesus of the gospel said this? He did. It says in Matthew 10 and verse 34, here's another verse you won't hear from the Sunday preachers. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." What? I thought he was the peacemaker with a capital P. Well, he is. But he said in the first century, "Don't think this way. Don't think that I'm come to send peace to this world, this present evil world," as Paul called it in Galatians 1:4. Don't think that. You've got to think differently. We've got to think like Christ. We've got to see these events all over the world from God's perspective. We've got to look to the prophecies of God, the sure word of Bible prophecy. Matthew 11 and verse 12, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." God says to his warriors in training, he says, "You've got to take the kingdom by force. You've got to go on the offensive. You've got to be spiritual warriors. You've got to grab the sword that is your holy Bible. You've got to rely on the Word of God, all scriptures given by inspiration from God." Don't think that I came to bring peace to this world, this present evil world. If you're going to take the kingdom, you better be willing to do it by force. You've got an adversary who is the devil. You've got this present evil world, Satan's world. And then you've got those carnal pulls of the flesh. You've got evil human nature, the heart of man, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked because of Satan's influence, because of Satan's broadcast, Ephesians 2:2. This is the truth of the Bible. This is the teachings of Jesus Christ. Verse 50, it says, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and now I'm straitened," and that word means maligned or martyred. Here he is talking about his oncoming sufferings, the fact that he was going to be martyred. all in fulfillment of God's purpose and plan. Verse 51 says, suppose you that I'm come to give peace on earth? This is, again, back in Luke 12. He says, I tell you, nay, but rather division. Did Jesus really come to give division or to expose division or to teach that this is a divided world and it's leading to a massive explosion in the lead up to my second coming? Well, listen again to what Jesus taught and ask yourself, have you heard this from preachers today? Verse 52, it says, for from henceforth there shall be five and one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I mean, this doesn't sound pleasant at all. But you look at the world today, and that is reality. This is what we see. France said, look, we've got a relationship with UAE and Qatar. It's in our interest to defend them. And so we need more nukes. If we're going to maintain our freedoms, we've got to be feared. And also we need cooperation. And, you know, our essential allies, Germany and Spain, for its part, you know, can't use this as a launching pad for this Iranian operation. Turkey says the same thing. Poland says we need nukes. America says we're the biggest, baddest, strongest nation in the world. Nobody's going to mess with us. But, you know, we might dial this back if that will lower oil prices. It's every man for himself. It's exactly what Jesus said about family division. Red letters. Verse 54, just to finish this. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there comes a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it comes to pass. Verse 56, you can tell the weather patterns. You can proclaim the signs of the times when it comes to weather. But, verse 56, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? How come you can't discern the signs of the times? Why are you so woefully ignorant when it comes to spiritual matters and the great prophecies of God? Why can't you look at this world as bitterly divided as it is? Competition on every level, fighting, strife. Why can't you look at that and conclude, well, this must be the very last days. We must be right at the time that Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 and elsewhere. Watch and pray always so that you know. And yet most people, as Jesus said, Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 5 as well, that most people, even with all these prophecies unfolding, exactly as God said that they would, most people are going to be caught completely unawares. Like Mr. Armstrong said, they're just going to be aghast, shocked when this seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire comes into view. God's trying to get our attention. The world is shaking, and it's going to shake so much worse before all of this is said and done. So many of those warnings, whether from Mr. Armstrong or from this church, from my father over the past 36, 7 years, I mean, you can play them on an endless loop now, and yet people still wouldn't listen. Who is it in U.S. and Britain in prophecy? Well, that would be Herbert Armstrong, that talked about the great blessings that God just rained down from heaven above upon Ephraim and Manasseh in particular, where, you know, Ephraim controlled so much of the world when Great Britain was great. And then with the United States, Brother Manasseh alongside, I mean, total dominance. Total dominance, but how things have changed. And so many of those blessings that God gave to us, that he just gifted to us, like the sea gates, like the shipping lanes, we're seeing now how important they were or are. I guess back in the 80s and 90s, you know, back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was signing over the Panama Canal to Panama and really China, there were probably those that thought, well, you know, we're coming into a modern time and okay, it's a passageway, and I guess cargo ships are still going to come through there, but listen, I mean, we've got trillions and trillions of dollars. We can print them if we want to. Everyone's dependent upon the almighty dollar. And then too, we're the leading nation in the world when it comes to technology, equipment, advancement, and so on. So who cares about a little canal? Well, look at the Strait of Hormuz. And all of these more recent, you know, hot spots or explosions. Going back the last few decades, I mean, this is the first time you see Iran say, that's it, we're going to close off the straits. And of course, America has, it does have the power to counter that or to keep them open. Or President Trump's talked about U.S. naval ships, you know, escorting this, the shipping lane or the ships coming through there. But again, how long can that last before America finally says to Germany, to Merz, to whoever, you know, we tried, we didn't get enough backing from Spain and Poland and some of you European countries or Turkey, I meant to say. We didn't get enough backing and support, but look, we had superior power. We took out the Ayatollah. You know, we bombed away their navy. So, you know, have at it. It's all yours. How much longer before that reality begins to set in? This is a look back. You look at Britain. Here again, why Britain and why America? God gave us all of those sea gates. Or those lanes, those shipping routes on the high seas. And why is it America and Britain that are giving all of those choke points away? Listen to this historical montage, clip 4.
All had seemed well between Britain and Egypt when both had agreed to the withdrawal of British troops from Egypt within 20 months. In September 1954, the agreement was signed. Some saw this withdrawal after 72 years as Britain's greatest break with her past since her withdrawal from India.
Panamanians voted today on the proposed Panama Canal treaties. A small sampling of some early returns show they approve them overwhelmingly 2-1.
The setting for tonight's treaty signings was under the glittering chandeliers in the Hall of Americas, the Washington headquarters for the Organization of American States. On the dais, the leaders of 27 hemisphere states.
We are here to participate in the signing of treaties which will assure a peaceful and prosperous and secure future for an international waterway of great importance to us all.
Then it was time for the formal signatures on both treaties. Afterwards, the two leaders shook hands and embraced.
The UK government has announced it is to return the Chagos Islands to Mauritius.
Britain has announced that it will give up its last remaining colony in Africa.
Gibraltar will remain British, but people will be able to travel freely across the land border with Spain, according to a new post-Brexit agreement on the territory. It's not just, however, that people will be able to travel freely across to Spain. It's that Spanish guards will now sit at Gibraltar Airport. If you want to visit Gibraltar from Britain, it will be EU border controls you have to travel through.
So it's kind of Spanish.
Yeah, it's kind of Spanish. It's a kind of Chinese at the Panama Canal, or at least Panamanian. Giving up all of these blessings. What must God think about that? God gave us all this prosperity, this wealth, this power because of Abraham's obedience, by the way, not because of our righteousness. God just handed it to us. And now in our vanity, our arrogance, we think, well, you know, who needs an important seagate anymore? This is a modern era. I mean, we can fly. We can ship things through, I guess, B-52 bombers. Who else in these past 50, 60, 70 years even had anything to say about seagates? There's a lot in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, Mr. Armstrong's book, that textbook for students of Bible prophecy. This was Mr. Armstrong in a sermon he gave back in 1984, clip 5.
After 2,520 years, God blessed us, beginning 1800 to 1804. In 1800, London had suddenly become the financial hub of the world. In 1804, the Louisiana Purchase came to the United States, and that was all of the great Middle West, added to the original 13 colonies. And we really became, for the first time, we had the wealth that began to make us a great nation. And by the end of World War I, the United States and Great Britain owned and possessed more than two-thirds and almost three-fourths of all the great wealth, the cultivated wealth of all the world. All of the nations combined had only a little over one-fourth and less than a third of the wealth of the world. And our two nations possessed it. We had the sea gates of the whole world, and we're losing them. And Britain has already lost her world empire.
That's 1984. That's a nice little synopsis of the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. And yet people don't even care to consider why. How do we come into possession of all these things, these blessings, these crucial seagate lanes? And then why are we losing them? Why are we giving them away? President Carter gave Panama away for a dollar. A dollar. That was back, what, 40, 50 years ago. And then 50 years on, and President Trump finally says, you know what? It's actually important. And China's taking it over. So we're going to help ourselves to regain some control down there because it's so important. Is this subject important to you? Do you care about it? Are you concerned about the U.S. and Britain losing all of this power, this prestige, this control? There's a lot of people in the world that are quite happy about that. Is that a good thing? We're entering into the age of nuclear weapons. We need more nukes. France says it. Poland says it. Iran was, I mean, they were building them. That's why, one reason they were bombed this past weekend and last summer. Because they want nukes. A lot of people want nukes. For what? Well, if we're to believe Macron, it's the only way to maintain freedom, to protect our freedom. We're like a lone voice, God's work. Mr. Armstrong said about his ministry, he was a voice crying out in the wilderness of religious confusion. A religion that doesn't quote those verses from Luke 12 like I just did. Doesn't really fit within their idea of what it means to follow the teachings of Jesus. Don't think I came to bring peace. He said there's going to be division. That's what this world's going to be noted for in the time leading up to or just before the return of Jesus Christ. My father gave a Key of David program a little over a year ago, how we won and lost the Panama Canal. And here again, this is unique. There's a lot of Sunday shows, a lot of religious shows every weekend. But as far as why we obtained the Panama Canal, I mean, America built it and then gave it away for a dollar. How we obtained it and then lost it, that's unique to the Key of David, to the Trumpet website, the Trumpet magazine, the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. It's important. Play clip 1.
We lost our world vision. Genesis 35 in verse 11, I'll just explain that. It talks about a nation and a company of nations, and that is America and Britain. And you can read about that in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And if you don't have that book, you do need it. It tells you all about those two nations and their prophecy in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28, verse 52 says, one specific way God would bless these two powers was by giving them control over gates. These gates are the maritime ports and passages that world trade flows through, and even land gates in a few cases. Did you know that Britain and America had possession of every major gate in the world? All of the gates, sea gates and a few land gates.
All of them. Most of them, at least. All the crucial ones. And yet it's only been in the last few decades that we've just started giving them all back to our enemies in some cases. And we, you know, the newscasters, it sounds nice. Well, I guess that means the Spanish are controlling it. Yes, on to the next story. It's not a big deal. Sounding the alarm, a voice crying in the wilderness. Germany knows how important those seagate lanes are. The whole world does at the moment because of Hormuz. Listen again to that same program. This is my father in January of last year, clip two.
God gave all of those gifts to us. It's prophesied in your Bible. He said he would give us those sea gates of our enemies. And that's what made us great powers. But now we've lost them all, essentially. Why? Well, because we're not having pride in our power today like we should have. And God says in another place that he will break our will in our pride, in our power, if we don't obey him. But we are getting away from God today. This is not about a certain group of people, Republican or Democrat view. This is about all of us that God is talking about. That if we want to be great, we'll only be great through God and fearing him. That's what it's all about. God wants to teach us how to fear God and not have to be punished for our sins. And that is a sin when you turn away from a gift like that that God has given us.
If we want to be great, that statement stood out. We need to be great through fearing God. A little different than what Macron said, that in order to be free, we have to be feared. People need to fear us. That's the thinking of this world. That's human nature. God wants us to look to him and to hang on to those blessings that he gave to us. It's like Mr. Armstrong says in U.S. and Britain. I mean, once God fulfilled his obligation to Abraham and gifted us with all of these blessings, this prosperity, this real estate, these shipping lanes, America, for so long, the breadbasket of the world, fed the whole world. And now we just give up all these gifts, these blessings. And, well, you can justify it by saying, you know, it's a modern time. Things are different. It's 2026. Well, lo and behold, here we are in 2026. And if anything, this latest war, the one between America, Israel, and Iran, it's showing just how important sea gates or shipping lanes are. Listen to this montage, clip three.
This area here, the Gulf, Saudi there, UAE, Iran, this area here is the single biggest concentration of hydrocarbons, of energy, anywhere in the world.
What happens here in the Strait of Hormuz could shake markets, rattle economies, and potentially determine how long this war goes on.
The Strait of Hormuz is one of the most important choke points in the global economy.
If this gets shut down to marine traffic, then you have a big problem.
For the first time in history, Iranian officials say the country has closed the Strait of Hormuz following joint strikes from the U.S. and Israel.
A prolonged closure of the Straits of Hormuz could push oil prices to more than $100 a barrel. Repeat, could.
By Sunday, the flows were down by 75%, and there's very few. Normally, it's about 100 passing through every day. Just in the last day, it's about six.
We are not seeing tankers moving through the Strait of Hormuz. We are still seeing only a few bulk carriers. These do not carry oil. The question is, for how long will it last, and how will it affect supplies and put more pressure on gas prices?
Back on Friday, if you wanted to hire a super tanker that would deliver your oil to China, it would have cost you around $200,000. Those rates are now being quoted closer to $500,000.
And what does this matter to us here in Europe? Well, it matters because we are very reliant on Qatari gas, and we're likely to get even more reliant in the coming years.
Some countries can probably dip into their stockpiles or replace oil barrels that usually come from the Middle East, replace them with others, let's say Russian barrels. But other countries will feel the pressures, or continents like Europe. Europe, for instance, relies on around 45% of jet fuel. This is aviation fuel that originates from the Middle East.
We've never seen things quite this serious before. That one-day increase in gas prices is the biggest that we have seen since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Just as we think that we have escaped the energy price shock and the cost of living crisis, who knows, it might well be that what's happening in Iran right now, what's happening in the Middle East, might well bring it back. We hope not. But so far, that's what the economics is pointing towards.
Ambrose Evans-Pritchard, he has a piece, an article, Energy Markets Will Force Trump to End His Reckless War Very Soon. So you see what side he's on. Trump's reckless. He's dangerous. It's the same mindset Macron and others have. Oh, look at Trump. I mean, we've got to create more nukes. We've got to build more nukes secretively in order to be free. I mean, we've got to be feared. Pritchard says Jim Burkhard, the head of oil markets at S&P Global Energy, said the war threatens to set off the worst oil supply crisis of the modern age, outstripping even the Arab oil embargo of 1973 or the first Gulf War of 1990. Never before has Iran shut down the choke point controlling a fifth of the world's oil and seaborne gas supply. A fifth. Never before has this happened. Pritchard says, my assumption is that Trump will be forced to the table long before those 4 weeks are up, and perhaps within days, and will present a partial retreat as a giant victory. Well, here's someone that keeps up with President Trump's tweets. Of course, that's how it's going to be framed. If it ends in the next few days, you're going to see President Trump come out just as he did after the bombing last summer. It was a total victory. We totally obliterated it. Yeah, the Ayatollah's son is in the front-running position to take over. So the mindset's probably not going to be very different. Who would want to be in the lead position, by the way, to take over? Trump was joking, I think it was joking yesterday, about, well, who did you have in mind as a replacement for Khomeini? Or Khamenei, however you pronounce it. Well, all the people we had in mind are dead. And the ones we're thinking of now, they may be dead too. He's decapitated the leadership. But as the dust settles, then it's the guy's son, evidently. I mean, I don't know anything about him, but I assume the mindset, the radical Islamist mindset, is probably about the same. Maybe worse. What if it's worse? Well, these are questions to ponder. Is anyone thinking about the end game? Now we've got to think about oil prices. Now we've got to think about this choke point. What happens if President Trump cannot unclog the Strait of Hormuz? We're seeing that this entire war, it may hinge on who controls a seagate. There's power in that. And for the longest time, I mean, God gave that power. He gave those advantages to a people described in the Bible or named Ephraim and Manasseh, and we just gave them all up. You know, again, Macron's talking about drawing conclusions from what's happened in recent days. Who else is out there drawing conclusions besides France? Well, Germany is, Iran is, China, Russia, all the big players. They're drawing conclusions, and it's important for you to know, to understand where this is leading. This tweet storm by John Conrad, pretty interesting. He says, Lloyds Bank insures 40% of the world's marine cargo. The Lloyds insurance rate is considered the standard rate by other insurers worldwide. Why? Because Lloyds has always had the best intelligence, the best pricing information. Why? Probably because it receives information from MI6 and the other Five Eyes nations, including U.S. intelligence. No other insurance company can compete with Lloyds intelligence. But, he says, for the first time, Lloyds has refused to insure passage through the Strait of Hormuz. During past crises, it simply jacked up the price. Now, Lloyds is saying, Lloyds is saying, no thanks. Too risky. The world is too unstable. What does this suggest? Well, it's exactly what Jesus described in Luke 12. Don't think that I came to bring peace. If you're going to take of the kingdom, or seize the kingdom, so to speak, you've got to take it by force. You're going to have to fight for it. Of course, he's talking about spiritual warfare. On Truth Social, Donald Trump said, effective immediately, I've ordered the U.S. Development Finance Corporation to provide at a very reasonable price political risk insurance and guarantees for the financial security of all maritime trade, especially energy traveling through the Gulf. So here comes Uncle Sam to pay the price. I mean, it's a reasonable cost, but listen, we'll escort these ships through this shipping lane, through this sea gate that the King of the South controls. But how long can that go on? Is Evans Pritchard right? Is the timeline that was being discussed earlier this week, maybe 4, maybe 5 weeks of just a bombardment from the air? Has that now been condensed to 4, maybe 5 days because of this choke point? It is true that President Trump sees the value of Seagates much more than previous U.S. presidents or leaders. But that said, so much of that power has been given up. Whether you look at the U.S. or Great Britain, this is again from that sermon Mr. Armstrong gave. It's clip 6 from a sermon he gave back in 1984.
Now then, I want to show you in prophecy what God said he would do to Britain and the United States after we had come to that wealth which God promised to Abraham and which he gave us. And the remnant of Jacob, that's the last generation, that's getting down to our time now in this 20th century, shall be among the Gentiles as a lion among the beasts of the field, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep. And what would a young lion do to little lambs and sheep? Who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. We were conquering every nation. We were winning every war for a while. But we were not serving God. We print on our money in God we trust. But we don't trust in God. I mean, the nation doesn't. I hope we in the church do. When I said we, then I was referring to the nation. And this nation is producing evil in every possible way. Homosexualities, women are beginning to run everything. Every kind of evil, rotten music. Rotten everything. Families breaking down. Sex is rampant. Drugs. Crime is increasing. And we are exporting the wrong everything. Drugs, wrong music, everything in our American way of life. It is a stench to the nostrils of God Almighty, and God is going to punish our nation. We better wake up.
That's the reality. That's the end game of so many of these prophecies that we spotlight here on this program. There has been no epic fury aimed at our sins, as I said the other day. No call for national repentance. Just a lot of human reasoning. Well, there's this sea lane, and we gave up Panama. Maybe we should try to get it back. And, well, we need Greenland for security because Russia and China are on the march. Over in Europe, we need nukes. We're coming into a nuclear age. Poland needs nukes. Turkey's putting its foot down because, well, I don't like this bombing of Iran. It's a world in trouble, top to bottom. And to not see it, I mean, you would have to have your head just fully buried in the sand. But if your eyes are opened and you're watching world events, praying always, then you see that it's a world exactly like Jesus described it there in Luke 12 and many other places on top of that. Taking you 2 minutes over, can you believe it? Free of charge, 2 minutes, 120 seconds of free material. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, which is the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.